Caravaggio came down the stairs through the darkness and into the kitchen. The only light came from a fire Hannah had recently started. She had her back to him and had not heard his steps into the room. He dragged out the chair so she would turn, realize he was in the room. He felt he had been in deserts for too long. "How is he?" she asked. "Asleep. Talked himself out." "Is he what you thought he was?" "He's fine. We can let him be."
"I thought so. Kip and I are both sure he's English. Kip thinks the best people are eccentrics. He worked with one."
"I think Kip is the eccentric myself. Where is he, anyway?"
"He's plotting something on the terrace. Doesn't want me out there. Something for my birthday."
Hannah stood up from her crouch at the grate, wiping her hand on the opposite forearm. "For your birthday, I'm going to tell you a small story," he said. She looked at him. "Not about Father, okay?"
"A little about him, mostly about you."
"I still can't listen to those stories, David." "Fathers die. You keep on loving them in any way you can. You can't hide him away in your heart. Talk to me when the morphia wears off." She came up to him and put her arms around him, reached up and kissed his cheek. His embrace tightened around her, his stubble like sand against her skin. She loved that about him now. In the past, he had always been meticulous. Caravaggio had in the past moved like a god in her presence. Now, with his face and his trunk filled out and this greyness in him, he was a friendlier human. Tonight, dinner was being prepared by the sapper. Caravaggio was not looking forward to it. One meal in three was a loss as far as he was concerned. Kip found vegetables and presented them barely cooked, just briefly boiled into a soup. It was to be another purist meal, not what Caravaggio wished for after a day such as this when he had been listening to the man upstairs.
"I can get you off the morphine, you know," Hannah said. "I'm a good nurse."
"You're surrounded by madmen," Caravaggio said.
"Yes, I think we are all mad."
When Kip called them, they walked out of the kitchen and onto the terrace, whose border, with its slow stern balustrade, was ringed with light. It looked to Caravaggio like a string of small electric candles found in dusty churches, and he thought the sapper had gone too far in removing them from a chapel, even for Hannah's birthday. "I kept finding dead shells wherever I was digging," the sapper said. They still didn't understand. Caravaggio bent over the flutter of lights. They were snail shells filled with oil. He looked along the row of them. There must have been about 40.
45, Kip said. "The years so far of this century. Where I come from, we celebrate the age as well as ourselves."
Hannah moved alongside them, her hands in her pockets now, the way Kip loved to see her walk. So relaxed, as if she had put her arms away for the night, now in simple, armless movement. Caravaggio was diverted by the startling presence of three bottles of red wine on the table. He walked over and read the labels and shook his head, amazed. He knew the sapper wouldn't drink any of it. Then he saw the corn and the meat and the potatoes. Hannah slid her arm into Kip's and came with him to the table. They ate and drank, the unexpected thickness of the wine like meat on their tongues.